Hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh yeah, here we are, going for it, going for the fulfillment of something simple like a better life for all of us, and that comes as an answer to a prayer, daily prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. So that's the goal. That's the theme expressed in a few more words, and let's all have great lives and take care of ourselves and each other. And with that in mind, we move into our program, and as we get started, we want to take a moment to say a thank you to our sponsor, AdvancedLivingComfort.com. When you visit that website, you're going to discover what so many people are calling a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. And you go, huh? A Clark Kent clock with superpowers? Well, when you look at this, it looks like a stylish digital clock you'd have on your desk or your nightstand or in your suitcase when you travel. And when you plug it in, it's kind of like having the Dalai Lama or holy people show up and meditate and pray in your space. It brings all this harmonized love energy that is wonderful both for just how we feel as well as for mitigating the stress of our high-tech electro world with all this pollution from electronics and cell phone and Wi-Fi and smart meters. Not good. And I lived under this stress for 7 years, and I got very ill from it. And finally, a doctor introduced me to this, and my gosh, it turned my life around. That was 17 years ago. So check out AdvancedLivingComfort.com, and you'll see why people like Harvard MD Eva Selhub, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul author, Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church, just a bunch of others, highly recommend it. It's a beautiful thing. And now, today, as we get into our program, you can't help but wonder at times in your life, right? Stuff goes on, and why is this happening to me? Not necessarily mea culpa or why me, but wait a minute, why is this going on? And what if we could chat with someone who basically put 60 years of figuring this out and finally, after all this time, came up with a powerful answer that she is going to share with us? So our guest today, Anne Muller, is the author of Signals from the Soul, How Our Soul Tells Us What We Need to Know. And Anne was living her life the way many of us do. Things happened. She coped the best she could. She She thought if she could trace her problems back to those moments in childhood. We've heard, you know, it's something in childhood, your childhood, someone's just something before, early in your life, that things would get better. But that didn't help much for her. Nothing really changed, or at least permanently. And then she began to suspect there had to be some kind of bigger picture, some bigger reason for all the day-to-day junk. Ugh, we know what that's like. And why did those things happen in her childhood? Why did she have those negative experiences? Why were those parents her parents? Why was she born with a birth defect? Why was she adopted? There just had to be reasons behind the reasons. And it took, yes, 60 years, but her path finally crossed with someone who knew about this bigger picture. And yes, there were reasons behind the reasons, and discovering and learning from those reasons changed everything for her. And that's what she's here to help us and why she wrote the book. All the things she thought were wrong with her life were actually signals from her soul, poking at her, nudging and nudging. It depends upon your little ways there of saying it. Pay attention was the message. There's something to be learned here. And when she started paying attention and finding her unfinished soul lessons, she realized that learning those lessons was the real reason she was living her life. And suddenly everything made sense, and it was her getting out of jail card. It was freedom. Her passion now, with us as a guest and with her book, is to invite you folks today and others to learn and to find the answers and to experience that freedom. So welcome, Anne.
Well, thank you very much, Ken.
Yay. I can't wait to dive into this. Look through your book, and it's just so tantalizing. And to get started, you say all the things you thought were wrong with your life were really signals from your soul. How did you discover that?
Well, like you said, you know, for most of my adult life, I spent a lot of time trying to figure things out. Why was this happening? Why was I like this? Why was I like that? Why did I respond to this the way I did? You know, and even when I could figure it out to some degree, it just didn't seem to make any difference. And I knew I had to be missing something. I tried everything. I tried talk therapy. I read books. I mean, you know, huge piles of books. Then I learned about affirmations, and I tried those. But just nothing really changed. And I figured there's got to be a missing link, but I had no clue where to find it. And then one day on a coffee table, I saw a book called Odyssey of the Soul. And I picked it up, and I opened it up, and on the very first page was a short paragraph that completely changed my life, turned out to change my life. Hmm. And that said, there is a part of you that knows everything there is to know about you. It can tell you why you are in this world and where you were before you came here. It can state both universal truths and the personal truths you need to know to get you where you want to go. It can talk about your future, your present, and your past. It can tell you about the people in your life, why you are involved with them, what you might want to learn from them, and what you have to teach them. It can help you become closer in your relationships or cut the ties that bind you to them.
Mm.
This part of you is the you that always was and ever will be. It is your higher self. And I thought, wow, hey, maybe this could very well be that missing piece. You know, I'd heard of the higher self, but I never really had a grasp on it because every book I read described it differently. So I devoured the book. And the authors were regression therapists who helped their clients heal their physical and emotional dysfunctions by finding the soul reasons for them. And there was a twist. What needed to be healed was a thought. What happened would be at a certain moment in the past, a thought would be formed in response to an experience that created an emotion that created an imbalance. And the dysfunction was a signal from the soul letting us know about the imbalance. The thought could have been formed during an event in this life or in a past life. But the twist was, by you simply going to that past moment wasn't enough. You had to alter the thought. And I read all these stories of people coming to them with physical things like chronic pain and cancer and brain tumors and heart disease and diabetes and emotional issues like phobias and habits that they couldn't break, addiction, excessive anger, and all kinds of other negative emotions. And the therapists always work the same. They always help them find the origin of that dysfunction. So I immediately, the minute I finished that book, I picked up the phone and I called one of the authors. Her name is Pamela Chilton, and I made an appointment. I said, I want to do this. So that's how it all kind of started.
Mm. Wow. And as part of the process, there's this thing about a list of stuff going on, physical, emotional.
Right. I kind of had a bucket list of things I wanted to either change or just get rid of altogether.
Mm.
And I had physical stuff, like I was born with a weird heart. I was born with no toenail on one foot, and after reading Odyssey of the Soul, I knew that more often than not, birth defects have something to do with a past life, an unresolved issue in a past life. And then I had all kinds of emotional stuff, like all kinds of fears, like of not being perfect, of disappointing people. I had, an insane urge to be in control of things. My feelings were hurt easily. I couldn't take criticism. The list just went on and on and on and on. So I said, I'm not going to stop until I get through this list.
Wow. Oh, boy. Now, you'd mentioned earlier that, like most of us, if things aren't going as well as we want, we're doing our best to figure out what's going on, and that you figured out some stuff, but it didn't help much. Can you help us to understand, at least in your case, and maybe for us, why can we figure stuff out and it just didn't get the job done?
Right. Well, I'd figured out a lot of my stuff, the emotional stuff, had come from adoption. You know, rejection and abandonment issues of adoption. And even though I kept telling myself, I don't think that way anymore. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to be in control. It's okay now. I'm safe. It just nothing changed because I was trying to change things in my conscious everyday mind. And that's not where all these emotions and all these programs lived. They were in the subconscious part of my mind. And I had to go and change them there. That's why the affirmations weren't working, you know?
Mm.
And sometimes I even couldn't figure out the reasons because they were coming from a past life. And frankly, until this work, I didn't even believe in past lives. So I never would have found, you know, that original experience, that original thought.
Okay. So essentially, a deeper level to reaching to be able to actually get to a higher level of resolution.
Exactly.
Huh. Wow. And can you tell a little about this process? How did you find the soul reasons for what was happening in your life?
Well, I found the soul reasons for these things from the third level of my mind, the higher self. I call it the higher self. It's the super consciousness part of the mind. It's stayed in the realm of spirit. It's outside the body. And because it's still in that higher frequency of spirit, it's free of all the beliefs and the emotional programming in the subconscious in the body. So it's the perfect guide. I mean, it can tell us, you know, what was supposed to be learned in that experience. It can help us, find the really take back our power. Because what happens, at least for me, what I kept running into over and over and over, was as I went back to these experiences, we would find out why everybody did what they did in that situation, so that then I could understand you know, why people did what they did, that it was nothing about me, really. It was about them. And I could take my power back. And so it was the higher, it was, we worked with the two inner levels of the mind, the subconscious, that has the, all the emotional programs and beliefs, and our memory bank. It remembers everything that's ever happened to our soul in and out through lifetimes. And then the higher level of the mind, the higher self, that can, you know, give us the higher knowledge, the higher information on what that experience was meant to teach us. So it's really cool. I mean, it's kind of incorporating everything.
Okay, so just thinking for a moment, at a physiological level, we look at a person. They walk in the door, they show up, and there they are, male or female. And yet, as we go deeper, we start to find out, okay, well, there's a brain, there's eyes, there's all these many parts within us that have separate functions, and people don't seem to have a problem with that. And so now, if I'm hearing you, it's like, just as there's different parts in our body that help create the whole of us, you're discovering through these people and your research that there's these complexities or other parts or aspects of ourselves at energetic levels.
Right. The mind. You know, it's really about how our soul uses our mind to form thoughts that create and affect all the conditions, you know, of our lives. And we can learn from those, which is why we came here in the first place, or more often, a lot of times, because of fear, we don't learn from them. And that's when we start to create imbalance, you know, and then that manifests physically and, you know, in physical dysfunctions. So, you know, when I look at somebody now, I mean, this is, you know, a while later, but when I look at somebody, I see another soul who happens to have brown hair, who happens to have green eyes, you know. And it's been an extraordinary journey in cleaning up all, I call it cleaning up all my junk, all the emotional and physical issues, has given me a freedom that I never ever believed imaginable. Like,
wow.
You said, it's like a get out of jail free card.
Oh my goodness. Now, you'd mentioned one of the bigger issues that you tackle in your book and for your life is adoption. And I don't know how you'd, you know, how did you resolve those issues, that some of that can be abandonment or who knows what other things are interwoven in that.
Right. Well, that's a perfect example of knowing where a lot of this, my reactions and emotional responses came from, but that knowledge not making any difference. And the reason was that because I had to go back to the level of consciousness where these thoughts and emotions were created, and that happened to be my fetus. So I did a regression back to my fetus, and when we got back there, it was about the third or fourth regression I did, I think, and we got back there, and here's this little fetus sloshing around in there, and she was so scared, and she didn't know what was going to happen to her, and she was, you know, thinking, you know, there, obviously mother was giving her away because there was something wrong with her. And the dialogue of Pamela, the therapist, with my fetus is so endearing and so beautiful. And the whole point of it was to help my fetus take back her power and understand the real reasons why she was being given away. It had nothing to do with her. You know, there were extenuating circumstances. And once she understood the real, you know, what was actually going on, she felt empowered. And instead of being afraid and not wanting to leave, she was ready to go out and face the world. So, you know, it's really all a matter of taking your power back. And so that was really the, you know, of all the regressions, that probably had the biggest impact on me because that had the most resulting, you know, emotional programs. And my, you know, all adopted kids, even I, and I was adopted into a wonderful, loving family. I had, you know, but it doesn't matter because there's still, there's something wrong with me. I must be, have done something wrong. I have to be perfect or they'll just take me back, the adopting parents. You know, all adopted kids have pretty much the same issues. And so going back and working those out back where they were formed is really, really life-changing.
Mm, wow, and that's, to me, important to say that you had wonderful parents. The, your adopted mom and dad were fabulous.
Right.
So you wouldn't be thinking, well, geez, that's... it's like the abuse wasn't there at the earthly level of mom and dad in the present time. But my gosh, you're talking about that we could be well served to look at deeper levels.
Exactly. And, you know, that was one of my life lessons I found from my higher self was, you know, to find my own power in that dark place of abandonment and rejection. You know, you've heard the you, I'm sure many, many, many times, we're spiritual beings living a human experience. And then the purpose of every human experience is to reconnect to that spiritual, our true self, our spiritual self, and learn the lessons that we came in here to learn. And my, a big one for me was, can you find your light, your spiritual self in the dark place of rejection and abandonment? Mm. And so, and just knowing that, then it puts, it answers the question, why was I adopted in the first, you know, why did I have to go through that? You,
oh,
you know, there
my.
Are spiritual reasons for everything that happens in our life.
So if,
and,
so
you know,
if someone
the,
wanting
the
to
reason
learn,
behind the reason, as you said in the introduction.
A wonderful way to learn, if I'm hearing you correctly, a wonderful way to learn about coming to peace with the issue of abandonment is to be adopted.
Exactly. Some people give themselves, some souls do it through adoption. Others will do it through, you know, parents like physically leaving a child behind somewhere. I mean, there's many ways to, or emotional abandonment, you know, parents who just neglect their kids. I mean, there's all kinds of, I just happen to do it through adoption, but it's, this, you know, the same, pretty much, this, I think, this, well, I don't know, but I would guess it's the same soul lesson for all adopted souls who choose adoption, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
okay.
A tough one.
Yeah, and at least the beauty, as I'm hearing from you, is that you discovered a pathway, and that pathway helped you get the answers, and that we do have these answers. It's just a matter of finding the right pathway, because you tried a whole bunch of them, and you were still alive, but it wasn't really a great life and yet. And so now this is the breakthrough that I love. And you also talk about you had learned that you'd been sexually abused as a child. And, boy, there's a lot more of that coming out. How did you heal that?
Well, first of all, I had absolutely no recollection of the sexual abuse at all. And I found it actually on one of my drives down to an appointment. I started feeling this intense pain in my right arm. It felt like somebody was grabbing me, I mean, really, really tight, like they had a vise grip on my arm, you know. It really hurt. And I walked in and I said, Pamela, I don't know what's going on with my arm, but it's got to be a signal of some kind. And sure enough, it was my three-year-old. And my three-year-old wanted to talk about Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was hurting her, and she didn't like it. And she was mad, mad, mad. And she felt like she was too little to fight him off, and, you know, all the things that, you know, a three-year-old would think about someone who was attacking her. And so my three-year-old came up first. It actually lasted for 3 years, three, four, and five. And I had to go back to each age that was abused because each age had different issues.
Hmm.
And so, you know, often, you know, general consensus seems to be that just going back to one age is fine. If you heal one age, you get them all. But what, for me anyway, what in my situation, each one of those ages had different issues. My 3-year-old was more, I'm too little, I can't fight him off, help, somebody help me. And my 5-year-old was like, you know, it was like, just get him away from me. I'm so over this guy. And, you know, so, and my therapist, Pamela, was, oh, when she worked with those, my little girls, it was just, it really touches your heart, explaining to them about, well, first she had to explain about pedophiles. My one age wanted to know, where is everybody? Why is there nobody here to help me?
Yeah.
And so Pamela had to explain to her about the pedophiles are very sneaky, and she went through this whole beautiful explanation of how, you know, my mommy and daddy, they were fooled. You know, they would never leave me alone with a bad person like that, but they didn't know. And so each age, as each age came to take her power back, and there it was, they were so clever in the way they took their power back. It was really, people think, oh, this is going to be really horrible to read, but it's not. It's, you're just like cheering them on, you know, it's like, go, 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 you know, take your power back. And that was, those regressions where I had to go, I think I went to my 3-year-old 2 or 3 times. She had came up a couple, 2 or 3 times with different issues. And, but as soon as she totally had her power back, that was really what was needed.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
And you know, a few years ago, I became an advocate for victims of sexual assault. We go to the hospital with somebody who's been newly attacked and are just there with them as an advocate. And in that training, I kept hearing over and over people get up there and talk and say, "You can never heal it. You can never get completely beyond it." And I had done this work already. And I sat there and I kept thinking, no, yes, you can, you really, really can. You just have to know what part of the mind to work in and the real goal of the therapy. And I did finally get to go and speak to all the advocates at one of their big monthly meetings and mm-hmm. talk about my experiences with healing my sexual abuse. And, you know, any abuse is the same. I mean, it can be emotional, it can be physical beating. You know, it robs the child of their power.
Mm, wow.
And again, the soul lesson is, can you find your power, your light, your soul, your spiritual self in the dark place of abuse?
That's huge. Would you say that again, please?
Any kind of abuse, anything traumatic that a child experiences, the sole purpose of that trauma, at least in my experience, is can you find your true self, your soul, your light, your inner power in the dark place of that abuse?
Wow.
And often souls will determine before they come into a human life that this life they're going to deal with that lesson, and they're going to need to be abused in order to do that. So these things don't happen by accident. They're not arbitrary. You know, so little in our lives is at least I found out in my life, so little is arbitrary. Almost everything happens for a reason, a soul reason. And that's what I think the liberating thing is when I started looking at my life, everything that had happened, and even now, just day to day, minute to minute, as things happen, I think, what's the soul reason for this? What am I supposed to be learning here? And it just, you know, it's like taking a veil off, uncovering, you know, some kind of veiled existence.
Hmm. Boy, that's amazing. I mean, at a depth that, because so often myself, you, but just lots of us, we're looking for some symptomatic relief. Look, I stubbed my toe. I got a headache, got a heartache, whatever it is. It's like there's an owie, and we're taught through our modern culture here in America and other parts of the world you take care of the pain. You fix the symptom. You get some. You stop the pain. Versus what you're telling us about. Well, nothing wrong with doing that, but there's more to it than just stop the pain.
Exactly. In fact, one of the things that I had just before I started doing this work, I call it doing my soul work. I had stubbed my toe big time. I mean, It was a bloody mess. I tripped on a side. And that was one of the things I asked about when I first was getting started. And she said, well, that's more of a signal, rather than a signal, that's more of a warning, she said. And she said, we'll find out what. And when I went to investigate that, tripping like that and stubbing my toe was a message telling me I was not on my path. I was actually walking to something where I was involved in a job that really it wasn't on to my greater good to be in that job. And that tripping was just a little, you know, tap on the shoulder. Hey, you know, you're really not on your path here, you know. And that same, the next day, I got a huge vitamin tablet stuck sideways in my throat. Now, of course, by now, I knew that all these things were giving me messages, right? So once I got did that hurt? But once I got I finally drank really hot water and dissolved it and got rid of it. But I wasn't, the message there was, I wasn't speaking my voice in that same job. So 2 days, two things in a row was telling me, get out of that job.
Mm.
You're wasting your time.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
To me, this is beautiful because it helps us to, through your example, and please, there's got to be a website for your book. I want to get that out there. Would you share
that? Yeah, there is signalsfromthesoul.com.
Okay, the name of your book, signalsfromthesoul.com, so that we can go there and learn more. But this is so exciting because it helps us to gain a perspective. Something's going on, and you're teaching us, well, yes, it's going on, and what's there behind it. Now, you mentioned also in your work hidden programs around marriage and some lessons in that stuff.
Then that I didn't even know I had. I had no clue that I had any marriage programs, negative marriage programs. I mean, I thought my parents were blissfully happy, and I had been through a couple of marriages. So, but I still didn't connect. I didn't connect that I could have some negative ideas about marriage, and that went back to my 8-year-old, which was the same year that my eyesight went into the ditch. And my 8-year-old, on an inner level, subconsciously, knew, could see that my parents were not happy in their marriage. But I didn't want to see that because that would have burst my bubble, right? Mm-hmm. Everything wouldn't have been perfect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because the mind controls the body, I had a thought, I don't want to see. And so my body says, okie dokie, we'll just make everything blurry. And it just went into the ditch. So this is aside from the marriage program, but Pamela helped my 8-year-old understand why, in fact, she does want to see everything and that her parents are teaching her something very important about marriage, that marriage is, you know, the result of the two people in it and is how important it is to communicate to each other what you need. But before you can do that, you have to know who you are and know what you need. And this was back in the 50s, you know, and therapy was not a big deal in the 50s, and looking inward was not very, you know, nobody did that in the 50s. And so it was just, you know, out of their realm. So I developed a negative program about marriage because I thought that it was like marriage was a prison. They were keeping each other in jail. They weren't allowing each other to be who they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned something very, very important about marriage and about my eyesight. And once I healed that thought that in fact I do want to see everything, my eyesight went at 8, and by this time I was in my early 60s. So my eye muscles had gotten very, very weak. And so between healing that thought and learning that lesson that, yes, we must look at everything, because if we look at everything, we'll gain knowledge, and knowledge is why we're here. I had to do eye exercises. You know, I had to do the up and down and sideways and diagonal and circles, you know, with my eyes, and far and near and far and near. But I did that really diligently. I really, really did that every single day. And now I need only wear glasses if I want to see facial expressions in the back of a large room.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now I kind of, every time I see somebody with glasses, I think to myself, I wonder what it is they didn't want to see.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, mercy. This is so astounding. I love it. And you made mention also in your work, I was born with a heart defect.
Yes. And when I had got, you know, kind of figured out from reading Odyssey of the Soul that birth defects very often come from a past life, that was right at the top of my list. I wanted to find out where that came from. And that came from a life where I was a merchant in 18th century Boston, who, because he wouldn't take responsibility for his actions and because he didn't trust in emotions, ended up shooting himself in the heart. So I was born in this life with a defective heart, basically as a signal sent to take me back to that life to learn that unlearned lesson. And that's an incredible dialogue. When he has an internal dialogue with himself where he decides to kill himself. And, it's great. I mean, everyone loves that. Everyone comments on that after they read the book. They go, that Boston guy when he was figuring out with himself that he was going to kill himself. That was amazing. And a lot of people from that life are in my life in this life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I have looked into this. There have been people, you may have heard of Dick Sutphin. He's a fellow that's done a lot of work with past life regressions, and then your path was led to the good folks, the Odyssey of the Soul.
Right.
And as you're mentioning this, what came in, you know, it was like this is kind of a left field thing, but I'm so curious because I have total acceptance of your experience and you know validation for your path and because I've heard of this from others for a number of years, and then I began to become curious. Can people, through reading some of your work and some of these experiences and possibly experiences of others, is there anything that can happen of a positive nature through, I don't know if you'd call it catharsis or just relating something being connected to them that can actually help produce a healing without them discovering their own particular years? Was this, for instance, the heart was related in this past life to, you said, an 18th century Boston businessman?
Right.
And then the story of that has certainly importance to you and the details of the story. Have you ever heard of anyone having good things happen without necessarily doing regression, but looking into this and having somehow aha moments come to them through someone else's diving into this?
Well, I mean, frankly, the reason that I even wrote this book, that I put my regressions into a book and published it so that others, was just to help people understand or encourage people to look at their lives from the perspective or the point of view of their soul, their soul's journey. And but I will say that, as you know, everybody is so different. And you can have, say, for example, two people who are sexually abused. The what I needed to heal mine might be completely different from what someone else might need to heal theirs. Mm-hmm. Because we're all so different emotionally, and we've, you know, there's just, so I really believe that, I mean, sometimes we can figure out something and we can, if there's not a life lesson involved, then we can sometimes figure something out and do affirmations that, you know, this is now how we think or you know, understand something, and changes can be made. You know, for me to get the resistant beliefs and the resistant emotions, you need help. I really, you know, I could never have done it on my. In fact, here's a good case in point.
Sure.
These things associated with the rejection, the adoption. You know, yes, I healed that. We healed that fetus. She took her power back, and everything was great. But I still constantly have to battle all the rejection issues and the criticism. You know, being criticized and reacting with counter criticism, because I had over 60 years of, you know, basically conditioned response to that. So, you know, healing at the level of consciousness where something was created is one thing, and sometimes that's enough. Done deal, over and done with. But other times with the bigger issues, you know, there is some conscious effort in the current life. But as far as people getting aha moments, there's nothing better than aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just only hope that from hearing this or reading the book or whatever, reading the website, that people will start to look at their lives differently and then find someone who can help them back and heal these, take their power back from these experiences.
And you, in your book, put a depth of some of the important things. There's, of course, all these different experiences and aspects that you detail, and which I think is very valuable. And then you get into sharing things about some of the processes and how they work. Many people have heard of muscle testing or kinesiology, and it's certainly done a tremendous amount of good, especially in chiropractic, different diagnostic techniques. And then in your book, you make mention, well, this doctor that you've worked with adds some nuances to that can help make it even more accurate. And I'm going, this is great.
Exactly. Muscle testing can be dangerous because for two reasons. You know, I think everyone listening probably knows that when you can make a statement, and if the response to that statement is positive, the muscle, usually the leg or the arm, will stay strong and it will resist the tester's attempt to move it. But if the response is negative, the body weakens and the leg will move over or the arm will drop or whatever. But there's some criteria there. Number one, that spirit attachments, you know, when a human dies and the soul leaves the body, but mm-hmm. and ideally the soul moves on into higher levels of vibration, into what we call the light or crosses over, but sometimes they stay earthbound if they have unfinished business or,
exactly.
you know, want to keep an eye on loved ones. And if one of those spirits is present with you or the person testing you when you're doing muscle testing, they can influence the response. They can be answering the statements rather than you. So it's very, very important to make sure that you have that there are no entities with you
mm-hmm.
or the tester when you're doing it. And the other thing that I found to be very important is you will respond. The muscle testing will respond to what you are thinking. Not if you're thinking something different than the true answer. So if you have an expected answer, or if you think you know the answer, that's what you'll get. So it's mm-hmm. very important to keep your mind completely blank. I use a little white ball. I don't know if you, back in the day there was a TV show called Name That Tune, and they would run the lyrics across the screen, and there's a little white ball that went bumped over from word to word to word.
Right.
And I do that when I'm making the statements, because it takes my mind off any expected answer or outcome.
Mm.
So both the tester and the person being tested has to keep a completely clear, blank mind.
Yeah, exactly. As I was taught over the years, and some people that did muscle testing showed me how easily it could be manipulated, and how important it is to be in a place of non-judgment or neutrality about the outcome. Some say, well, we're just going to do the testing, let the chips fall where they may. Some people tone it as, thy will be done, Lord. Show me your truth, not anything else's. Involved in that, and I think that's just, it shows me that you've really done a lot of amazing work, and that you know, and what you're offering has a depth to it that I am just thrilled to support and to help promote and have people check this out, folks. Anne's work here and her website, which is signalsfromthesoul.com.
And there's a lot more information on that website, and a lot that we didn't even touch on today. And I just really want the free. It's like getting a get out of jail free card when you start to see all the things happening in your life have reasons. They have bigger picture reasons, and when things make sense, it just changes everything.
Yeah.
Everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I want, kind of like to quote Bob Dylan, I want everybody to be free, which is pretty much why I wrote up the dialogues. It's the chronicled my journey. And there's moving, there's a lot. I had an evil life. Turns out that usually a soul experiences at least one evil life. Because in order to combat evil, the best, you have to know evil. And that, the way I found that was I had this fraud program. Oh, I'm just fraud. I had very successful careers in my life, but I always had this little voice in the back of my head saying, oh, I hope nobody finds out that I really don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here, and it's just luck that I have been so successful. And that came from my life as a marauding evil soldier in, I think, 12th century France or something, and who didn't question what he was doing. And his lesson was not to follow blindly, and when he, as he left his body, his soul, he realized that his whole life had been a fraud, and that's where I got my fraud program. And that's a really interesting regression as well. Pamela had to work hard to convince him that there had been a positive purpose to that life.
Hmm. Oh boy, because this to me is another significant thing to deal with. In my opinion, with I don't know how many 90%. We've got 7 billion people, and I think the vast majority of them, more than a majority, maybe 80, 90% of the folks, are not living happy lives. They're not getting their needs met. There's massive abuse going on. And so you're talking about something here about, a fraud of all the lies that have been perpetrated on humanity for eons of time. And then you're kind of saying, well, yes, that's a great thing, but here, check this out for your own.
But, I think there's a reason for that as well. Think about it. There were three cult civilizations of Atlantis that were wiped out because they got too big for their britches. They got to where we are now. They tried to conquer nature, and Mother Nature is not going to let humans conquer her. She'll wipe out humans before she lets humans wipe out her. And it's already starting with the tidal waves and everything. We better get it together. or it's going to be another civilization down the tubes. But all that's happening, can we, when I think of all these people trying to cut off health care and all that stuff, but, there's a reason for that. Can we, it gives us there's just reasons for it. You know, can we overcome that? Can we fight that? Can we make things right? You know, so even all the evil in the world has reasons. You know, and I remember saying to Pamela once, I said, yeah, but like, what about all these little kids in Africa that are getting raped with broken bottles and everything? And she said, there's a lot of karma being worked out. And you can never judge anything because you don't know. Maybe those, you know, the people that are suffering the abuse today were marauders in the 3rd century that burned and raped and pillaged everything in sight. And they're back to experience being on the other end, the other side of what they did before. So you never know what kind of soul thing is being worked out. And man, that made a huge difference for me. I mean, I had to stop judging things.
Yeah, it's as we start to learn quantum physics, we had, okay, there's two-dimensional. Now there's 3 dimensions. Wait, there's 4, there's 5. How many dimensions
right.
are there? Golly, I don't know. But nuances to things going on that are so complex, and they have an influence on things that most of us aren't yet able to realize. And you're opening this door through the success of your life in your beautiful book to help us at least, you know, we don't have to solve the mysteries of the whole universe. I like the way you can help us shed some light on coming to a place of peace and getting some resolution for some of our own mysteries.
Exactly, because the whole point is to raise our vibration, to raise our consciousness, and we do that by learning things. And I mean, I said to Pamela, why would a soul want to come to Earth? I mean, you know, and suffer and do all this stuff, you know, when it could just hang out in spirit, you know, in the love and joy and light and all that. And she said, because, you know, and it's all about raising consciousness and learning and getting through all these human lives with the ultimate goal of raising your vibration so much that you don't have to come back to Earth, that you can stay in the spirit realms. And boy, that's what I'm working for.
There you go. And we've got a couple of minutes left, and I don't know if there'd be something else you'd want to say. I know you'd describe some of the differences in your life today, or just take this time, share whatever you want.
Oh, well, thank you. I will say that one of the biggest things that came out of this was I have a whole newfound respect for my body, because it's a tool that my soul uses, you know, to signal. And I have a rapport now with my body. I mean, I have done all kinds of things. I talk to it all the time. We fight off colds together. I've lifted my eyelids, you know, when they get a little droopy and saggy. I mean, I'm 66 now, and when, you know, I talk to him and I say, up, 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 little eyelids, I love you, you're the best little eyelids in the whole wide world, and they just poop, pop up. And you know, I've fixed my teeth and straightened my teeth. I've learned that the mind controls the body, and if I believe that I can do something using my mind to my body, I can do it. And so it's that, and it's also understanding that everybody is on. I really don't take things nearly as personally now as I used to, because I know everybody's on their own journey, doing the best they can do, working out their stuff. And if somebody does something that I would have found very annoying before, I just think, gee, I wonder what it is they're trying to work out.
Wow.
You know, and it
would you
just
say that
makes
again,
everything
please,
much nicer.
I mean, because most of us are going to be experiencing at different times some stuff that we'd classify as unfair, unjust, and you had a beautiful statement about how you look at, you know, people that are going through and doing some things to others that aren't that nice. Would you share that again?
And well, now I just say, what's meant to be learned here? What, you know? I mean, if it's something I experience, I think, okay, what am I supposed to be learning here? What's the why? You know, why is this happening? There's a lesson here, Yeah. And I just now I'm getting, you know, the longer I do it, the better I get at figuring out the lesson. And if I see it happening among other people, you know, distinct from me, I think, I wonder what is, you know, is being worked out there on a soul level. So now I just ask, it's always, what am I supposed to be learning from this?
Yeah.
And whether it be, you know, being broke, okay, what's my money program? Why am I not, you know, getting enough here to survive? Could it be that I decided that this is how I was going to live this life? You know, maybe I was very, very wealthy and abused that wealth in another life. I mean, there's just so many possibilities. And learning to access your higher intelligence, your higher self, is the way to find that out. And on my website, there's you'll see a link to the Odyssey of Soul website, and there are actually audio tapes that they provide for self-hypnosis, finding, being able to access your higher self and self-hypnotize yourself.
We got to wrap up now, Anne, but
okay.
I just wanted to say the big thank you to you, and go, folks, visit their website. Say it again, please.
SignalsFromTheSoul.com.
Right. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, thank you. And
thank you so much for this opportunity to share.
My pleasure. And until we meet again, Anne, to my beloved listeners, goodbye and God bless.